Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we get started, I want to encourage you, as you're making your travel plans, remember to go to johnnydollarair.com. johnnydollarair.com is powered by Priceline, so you can either name your own price on hotels, rental cars, airline tickets, and even more, or you can choose from several published fares. However, with JohnnyDollarAir.com, if you make your purchase there, part of your purchase price goes to support the show. No additional cost to you. So just remember, JohnnyDollarAir.com. Well, now it's time for us to get into the matter of the medium well done, part 3 and part 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Tony Ricardo.
Oh, I've been hoping to get in touch with
you. Did you receive my note?
Was that your polite threat to kill me if I don't leave Carol Sharp alone? Yeah, I received it. And I have a sneaking suspicion the police department might be interested in
it. No. Oh, please, I guess I acted a bit hastily. Perhaps you let me talk to you.
You want to take the threat back?
That still stands.
Then you don't leave me much choice.
Talk to me first. Believe me, you won't be sorry.
But I might be dead. Is that it?
I want to see you.
Can't do it now, but where can I reach you?
Sunrise 3, 9970.
Okay. Meantime, don't get trigger happy.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location New York City, to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the matter of the medium. Well done. Expense account item 7, 85 cents. Cab fare from the Bell Towers to the 18th Precinct Station and Sergeant Randy Singer.
So, you met Carol Sharp, huh?
Yep. I put on an act that would have done credit to the Theater Guild. Told her she looked exactly like a girl I dreamed about as a kid, a girl named Carol.
Oh, Lord, she swallowed it?
Not only that, but she gave me a lecture on veridical dreams, an allied psychic phenomenon.
You deserve an Oscar.
Also, she wants me to go with her and see this Madame Morgana Morgana.
Oh, good, when?
Tomorrow night.
Well, you're not figuring on skipping tonight's seance, are you?
Oh, no, not a bit. I want to find out what this stuff is all about, so I'll be prepared for tomorrow. This dame you have lined up pretty good?
She's got a big following. You ready to go?
Oh, wait a minute. You said you had the file on Tony Ricardo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, here it is, waiting for you. There. Anthony Ricardo, alias Ricky Marino, alias Tony the Tip. There, here's his picture. Height 5'9", weight 172, eyes brown, hair sparse gray, suspected member of the Dutchy Sperling outfit, 12 arrests, no conviction, started as a rum runner back...
Hey, this is Tony Ricardo?
It's the guy.
I would have sworn the man I talked to over the phone was in his 20s. Late 20s at most.
You talked to him?
After leaving an unpleasant little note under my door at the Towers, he called me on the phone.
And what kind of note?
Oh, nothing particular. Just a gentle suggestion I lay off Carol Sharp.
Threat, huh? Still got it?
But I'm sure that voice couldn't have come from this old geezer.
Yeah, well, frankly, I kind of wondered about the Sharp girl being interested in him, even though the file does show he's always surrounded himself with a bunch of young ones. You know, he's probably handed out more mink coats. Oh, Johnny, wait a minute. Old Tony's got a couple of kids. Here, Angela. Goes under the name of Angela Richards. At least she used that name at Bryn Mawr.
Bryn Mawr?
Yeah, and Sarah Lawrence College at Bronxville. Yeah, the old boy tried to keep the stigma of his past away from her, I guess. Yeah, you see, married to a doctor over in Hackensack. Respectable housewife.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other? Anthony Jr., age 26. That was last year. Let's see, that makes him 27. Now, Rutgers University class. Not much on him. Unless I miss my guess, he's a chip off the old block. Now, you know where I can find him?
All I have is his phone number.
What is it?
Wait till I see and talk to him.
That may be too late. He's what I think he is.
Why not ask this medium about him tonight?
Yeah, that... Hey, come on, we're late. Let's go.
Item 8, $1.20, cab to an old brownstone house somewhere over in the West 40s, way west, in a district that had seen better days. We were greeted at the door by a tall, gray-haired old gentleman, dressed in black, except for his white gloves, that somehow reminded me of a pallbearer.
Come in, Mr. Singer and Mr. Dollar. Clarabelle is about to begin. Psychometry is the mood this evening. Follow, please.
How do you know our names?
Oh, I had to give them to him when I made the appointment.
Now, what's this psychometry business?
You'll see.
Oh, wow. The music gives me the creeps.
Yeah,
Into the temple, please. And be seated.
The temple turned out to be an old dining room. Bare wooden floor, heavy drapes over the windows. And as nearly as I could see, a bunch of chairs around in a circle filled with people. The sockets in the ancient chandelier that hung from the ceiling had red bulbs in them that barely glowed. We could hardly see a thing, although I'm sure the light went up very slightly when we made our entrance and then down again, as though somebody was controlling it with a rheostat. Our eyes were almost used to the semi-darkness by the time we seated ourselves in the circle. Nobody spoke, and the weird music from that scratchy record was beginning to get on my nerves or put me to sleep or something. I'm not quite sure what. Then, suddenly, there was a flash of light and a puff of smoke, and so help me. What the sand? Randy!
Shh, quiet. This is all part of the act.
Shh.
Greetings,
friends of the unknown, friends of the mystics, of Botan the Indian boy, and the seventh son of a seventh son of Harry Shnu the Mighty.
And there she stood, in the center of the circle where the flash had gone off.
Are we all in the mood?
She stood there draped in what looked, even in the dim light, what looked like a slightly soiled bedsheet, pulled in around her ample middle with a hunk of coarse rope. She wore a sort of turban, or maybe it was just an old dish towel wrapped around her head. A faint odor of gin pervaded the room. I guess her feet were bare, for she made no noise as she walked slowly around the circle, holding on a shallow metal tray. Taking a collection so soon, I wondered?
Each of you, place upon the tray some object very close to you, something you have had a long, long time that has become a part of you.
Huh?
Shh, you'll get it back.
And if the spirits are with us, and there are no dissenting minds among us, if Botan, the Indian boy from the world beyond, is willing to act as our control, we shall learn many strange things this night. Place something close to you upon the tray.
Will this watch be on?
You must not speak, but keep the mood. Keep the mood. Are we all in the mood?
Yes, sir. Yes, we are.
And now, dear friends, while I meditate and establish contact with the spirit world, Hemingway will pass among you for the tiny assurance that you join us in all sincerity. Now join hands to create the flux that will join our thoughts and minds and hearts and open the doors to enlightenment for all of us.
$5.
Botan, are you with us tonight?
$5, please.
Botan, will you answer us?
$5,
are you with us now? Is that Botan that answers our call, or the little sister, Hyacinth? Ah, it is Botan. We may begin. I hold this ring. I feel the paramagnetic forces arising from it. This belongs to a businessman south of here. I seem to see clothing hanging in a large warehouse.
Yes, yes.
And the sound of many machines, sewing machines.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And many young girls working at the machines.
One by one, she picked the objects off the tray, held them in her hand, and gave a kind of character reading of the owners. Occasionally, somebody in the circle would respond in a way that made it sound like she'd guessed right. Other times, she'd just make with a lot of generalities that could apply to anyone. Finally, she picked up my watch.
This watch. I see tall buildings of stone and strange signs on them. I don't know what they mean. Tri-mutual universal adjustment.
Huh? Randy.
And I see great sheaves of papers carefully folded. And on each one it says, policy. Policy. I don't understand unless... Insurance, yes.
This is fantastic.
Wait till she gets the one I put there.
The watch is from a young man. Clever, energetic. I will have many things to tell him at another time. But he must see me again. Often. And now, this other object that lay beneath the watch. I see a police badge. The cops!
Oh, my God.
Dirty crooks, the cops are on to us. We're being raided. Get them out of here. Hemingway! Hemingway!
Get out of here. Come on, Johnny. I may need a hand. Just a minute there, Clarabelle.
Take your filthy hands off me. Let me out of here.
You're not going anywhere until I have a talk with you.
Hemingway! Ditched me, ran out on me. I might have known he would at a pinch.
There isn't going to be a pinch if you'll just shut up and stand still a minute.
I wasn't doing no harm, honest officer, and all the money goes to charity.
All right, settle down. Where's the light switch?
Got it ready.
I'll never live this down. Now look, officer.
You look, Clarabelle. All we want is some answers to some questions.
And you won't pinch me?
Not if you tell the truth. Johnny?
Yeah. Just how did you know so much about me? It certainly wasn't from holding that watch.
Okay, so it wasn't. Though some there are who can do it that way. That I've heard.
Well, go on.
No pinch?
No pinch.
Well, when your friend called to arrange your being here tonight, Hemingway... That bum, he would walk out on me.
Go on, will you?
Well, Hemingway asked where you come from, so we'd know if the spirits was propitious there. That's what we always say.
And I told him Hartford.
That's right. So what's Hartford? Insurance. If a client's in insurance, he responds like you done. So I keep pushing it. And if he ain't, well, at least he thinks I done pretty good by describing the place he comes from.
Yeah. What about the clothing maker right at the beginning?
Easy. He called from a hotel, so he calls the hotel back and gets his address.
You told him he was from the south of here.
Sure. Woodbine, New Jersey. Only business down there of any account is clothing and small farms.
Where'd you find that out?
State directory, any library. And anybody could see he was a businessman, not a farmer.
Well, I'll be.
And hooking him that way tonight, you could have had him coming back as long as he could afford it, huh?
Sure. And if it hadn't been for you, you double-crossing.
Okay, okay. Now, what about the others?
Some we get the dope on and some we guess at. But there's always enough good ones to keep going.
So easy. And yet, I must confess she'd had me stop for a while. We talked with her a bit longer. Randy warned her to watch her step and we left. Took a taxi back to my hotel.
Well, did you learn anything?
I should hope to tell you. What do the church-going spiritualists think of her kind?
They hate him, and I don't blame them.
Hmm.
Are you still going to see Madame Morgana Morgana tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Well, mister, that one won't be so easy to expose, if you can expose her.
Johnny Dollar.
Carol, Johnny.
Oh, hello, Carol.
I've made the arrangements for us to go to the seance tonight with Madame Morgana Morgana.
Good. What time?
8 o'clock. Only it's across the river in New Jersey.
Will you have dinner with me?
I'd love to. But we'd better make it pretty early.
Pick you up in your penthouse at 6?
I'll be waiting, Johnny.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, New York City. To the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the matter of the medium. Well done. Some pretty strong pressure was being put on Carol Sharp to change the beneficiaries of her $110,000 life policy. and she was very much under the influence of a psychic medium who insisted that she be named as one of the two new beneficiaries. The other was to be a Tony Ricardo, whose father made quite a record for himself in the bootlegging gangster days of the Roaring Twenties. I met him at Susan Palmer's Oyster Bar over in Radio City. I must admit I was surprised at the sort of fellow he turned out to be.
I guess it was a little, well, extreme to threaten you that way, Mr. Dollar.
That's putting it mildly.
But this whole spiritualism business and the hold it has on Carol, well, it has me terribly concerned.
You don't like spiritualism?
I didn't say that. You know, just as well as I do, there are a great many fine, honest spiritualists in the city. But as in any other field, there are frauds, racketeers.
So I've heard.
It's not only true of religions, but businesses, professions, anything, you know.
Sure, sure. But now look here, Tony.
Dollar, I will not have you or anyone else leading Carol on. This medium who's already has such a hold on her. Do you understand?
Pardon me, Tony. Your background is showing.
What?
I say come off it. This kind of act won't work.
What are you talking about?
Do you think I don't know you're one of the two Carol wants to name as beneficiaries of her policy? You and that medium?
That's not my doing.
Whose doing is it?
That medium, Morgana Morgana. She's been taking Carol's money by the hundreds week after week. Now you've come along to encourage her, and Della, I tell you to stop it.
Tony.
Maybe that story you gave her about dreaming of her over and over when you were a kid and couldn't even have known about it was true, but I don't believe it.
Tony, that was made up out of whole cloth.
I still... What?
This funny decision to switch your policy around is the case I'm assigned to.
Wait a minute, you mean that...
Yes. I had to meet her somehow, so I used that device, knowing she might fall for it because of her implicit belief in such things.
Yes, but now you're encouraging this whole thing. You're even going to see this Morgana Morgana with her tonight.
Because if she is a phony, it's the only way I can show this to Carol. Well?
I hope and pray that you can, Mr. Dollar. Some of the best psychic investigators in the country have been stumped by her. How are you going to go about it?
I won't know until I've seen her operate. Even then, I may not know. Or maybe this medium isn't a fraud.
Oh, come on, of course she is.
But you can't prove it.
But you or somebody must. Carol will change her policy and...
And then turn up dead.
Won't be easy, Mr. Dollar. I've attended these seances with Carol, many of them. There have been times when I've almost been convinced myself.
Waiter. Waiter, some more coffee, please.
No more for me, thanks.
You're going to need it, Tony, because I'm going to keep you here until you tell me every detail you can remember of this Madame Morgana Morgana's seance procedure.
All right, I'll help you all I can.
You'd better. I'm still not forgetting that if I fall down on this job, you'll cut into Carol's insurance for a neat $30,000, in spite of your sweet talk. I'll say this for Tony Ricardo. He was thorough, and I began to believe that he was serious in his concern for Carol. Item 12, 10 cents, one fold call to Tommy Green.
No, Johnny, no trouble at all in getting the rundown on Carol's family that you asked for.
Keep talking.
Apparently they're doing all right there in Mauchunk, PA. Neither the mother or two brothers will ever have to really get out and dig for a living.
They're all man left and well set up, huh?
Yeah. One of the boys, Harold's turned out pretty well. Works in some office over there, even though he doesn't really need to.
What about the other boy?
That'll be Dave, the black sheep of the family. Travels with a fast crowd, tears around the country in a sports car, that sort of thing.
Oh.
Right now, he's somewhere here in New York, just playing around. But, Johnny, are you getting anywhere on this case?
Yeah, Tommy, I think I am. Especially after what you just told me.
Huh?
Item 13, another phone call, this time to Sergeant Randy Singer at 18th Precinct Headquarters.
Yeah, Johnny?
Got a real easy one for you.
What's that?
Find a man. Name is David Sharp. Home address, Mauchunk, Pennsylvania.
Chunk, Pennsylvania. Got it. Description?
None, though he's probably in his 20s.
Well, that's not enough.
And he's probably staying at a hotel here in the city.
Well, yeah, but where? What part of the city?
Let me know when you find out, will you?
Yeah, now, wait a minute, Kate.
Expense account item 14, $106.80, and it includes cabs to several camera shops, one miniature camera with an F2 lens, a couple of rolls of special film, some very special flash bulbs, and a tiny flash holder. Item 15, taxi back to the towers to clean up and dress for my date with Carol. Then the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
We located David Sharp for you, Johnny. Just dumb luck.
Now, who knows, Randy? Maybe you're psychic.
Nah, leave us not have that stuff.
Where is he?
Found him staying at the third hotel we called, the Aberan over on East 53rd Street. Not two blocks from that palatial joint where you're staying.
Is he there now?
No, but he always comes in just before dinner time. Hey, you still haven't told me why you're interested in him.
I'm not sure myself. But do me a favor, will you?
Like what?
When he shows up, put a tail on him. I want to know where he goes, how long he stays, and when he comes back.
But you won't say why?
Not until I'm sure I know why. Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, but I haven't said...
Thanks, boy. Dinner with Carol could have been one of the pleasantest things in years. But I'm afraid I was preoccupied with matters at hand and she with anticipation.
She's promised to try to hear from Daddy again tonight. Oh, Johnny, I so want to speak to him again.
Finally, I signed the check. We hopped into a taxi and headed across the river to the Jersey side. We ended up at a rather plain but nice home somewhere on the outskirts of, I guess it's Union City. We were met at the door by a matron of about 45, I should say, who looked like an ordinary, respectable housewife, except perhaps for her quick, discerning eyes.
Good evening, Carol, my dear. Oh, and you must be Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Yes, Madam Morgana Morgana?
Yes. Do come in and meet the others who are here to form the circle tonight.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Carol told me nothing about you except your veridical dreams of her. An amazing experience, isn't it? Perhaps you're really psychic.
Oh, I doubt that. But all our friends thought my kid brother Richard was, before he died a couple of years ago.
Richard. Richard. That name has been haunting me ever since Carol telephoned. You don't suppose...
What, madame?
Oh, no, of course not. Now, here in the parlor are the others who will be with us tonight. May I present Mr. Johnny Dollar, Mrs. Dorothy Jessup...
How do you do?
Mr. John Price...
Hello.
Mr. Samuel Froelich.
All right.
And, of course, you all know Carol Sharp.
Good evening.
I see no reason why we shouldn't start. The atmosphere has seemed almost electric tonight. Very conducive to good contact with the, shall we say, the netherworld. And, oh, yes, you may smoke if you like, Mr. Dollar. We're very informal.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just sort of a nervous habit, I guess, flicking this lighter.
Oh, incidentally, I hope you tell these people of your dreams after we're finished. Oh, dear. The atmosphere is tense. We should begin right away. Well, yes, I'll turn on some low music.
The six of us sat down in a small circle. On the floor were three long, slender metal trumpets, like Halloween horns, but made of thin metal, spaced about the center of the circle. In the subdued conversation of the next few minutes, I learned it was through these that the spirit voices would come to us, that they would rise in the air and the voices would issue from them. From time to time, there in the pitch-black room, I snapped the cap of my lighter as a reminder of what it was.
You mustn't light it, Johnny, you know.
No danger. This one hasn't even got a flame in it.
I do hope we get some messages today.
I think we will, Mr. Froelich. I have a feeling that we will.
I have that feeling, too. Very strongly.
From what Madame told us, you must have definite psychic powers, Mr. Dollar. That should be helpful.
Wait. The power's here. I feel it.
Almost as though she were suffering
Come
physical
to us.
Pain.
We are ready.
The medium sighed and gasped. And we waited and waited. It's hard to describe the tension that comes of waiting that way in a completely darkened room. And it's easy to see how well the imagination can work, the powers of suggestion. There was a slight sound.
One of the trumpets. I heard it move.
Yes. Yes, so did I. That means that they are with us. It seemed to move toward you, Carol.
I hope so. Yes, I can feel it in the air near me. Father? Father?
Carol.
Oh, Father, can you speak to me? There's so many things I wish to ask you.
Yes, dear. Yes.
It may not sound like much to tell, but believe me, this was impressive. The death-like silence broken only by the faint voice from the trumpet, the whispered questions by Carol, an occasional sigh from the medium, and the shutter of my special little camera, which I hope sounded enough like my lighter had sounded.
Yes, Carol. Always do the things I tell you to. You are a good girl, my darling, and you give me great happiness in this lonely...
Father? Father?
Goodbye, my... Goodbye.
Oh, Johnny, do you see? Do you see? Because only he and I know the things we talked about. Wait. I feel the trumpet is still near us, and
John,
perhaps...
John.
Mr. Dollar, it's for you. Yes? Richard?
Yes, John.
Dick.
I've waited so long to speak to you.
Dick. My brother. The brief conversation I carried on with my dead brother Richard was amazing. Of things in my childhood that I thought nobody else even knew about. Personal, intimate things that can only be known to a brother or someone equally close. It was fantastic, amazing, awe-inspiring. Except for one thing. I never had a brother. I didn't tell this to anyone. I played it straight and even stayed around and discussed my trumped-up dreams after the seance. But I needed proof, and I couldn't wait to get back to New York to the police lab where I could develop the infrared film in my little camera.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, the wind-up. And a bit of heartbreak for a very chastened girl. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. It is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone, who also wrote tonight's story. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. This hasn't been my favorite serial so far, but I love the sudden shift when the phony psychic in part 3 found the policeman's badge, both in her temperament as well as in the scene. But we'll see how things develop in the next serial and whether Johnny has the evidence to cook the medium well done or if he was mistaken. Also, if listeners revolt over those last two puns. All right, but that will do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Nick Carter, and join us on Friday for the conclusion of the matter of the medium well done. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.